Good morning. I'm so thankful for worship. So thankful for an opportunity to sing in a congregation of people who are of light, precious faith. I enjoy the congregational singing together. I enjoyed the reading of the scripture. Wherever Ben is, thank you. And I enjoyed that song too, thank you. I pray that our Lord might truly be glorified today and every time we gather in His name. I'm very, very grateful to have been here this weekend and very grateful for all of your effort. Thank you for all the food and all the hospitality. So thankful. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And I want to tell you that this message this morning is for believers. I would like to make, before we even get into it, I just want to make that very clear. This message is for believers, and I pray that we are all believers. I mean that. I want every soul in this room, no matter how old or how young, to be a believer. And if we have never been believers to this point, I pray honestly that the Lord today would make all of us to be believers. For a believer who has been made to know that he or she is an absolute, utter sinner before God. And the only hope of forgiveness that he or she has is if God the Father chose to save him or her. And God the Son died to redeem him or her. And God the Spirit has effectually called him or her back to the fellowship of God. For the soul that believes that it was God's will, God's work, and God's way. That's what a believer believes. We're talking about being a believer. It was God's will. Salvation was God's will. And it was God's work and it was God's way. For a believer who truly believes the words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God. God Almighty, the sovereign God. For that person, there is no greater comfort than hearing and trusting these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is actually speaking these words to me. All right, directly to me, being able to believe in my heart, He is saying this to me. Look with me, if you would, at the end of verse 20, the very end of the book of Matthew, our Lord said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Lord God Almighty, speak that to our hearts. I pray the Lord might speak to our hearts today. What comfort that honestly brings. What peace that brings to the heart. What peace, because God's people know that in their flesh, according to their own desire and their own will, this is what they said to Him. And this is sad. This is heartbreaking, but this is true. God's people know, believers know this, that in their own will and in their own desire, they said to him, I'm not with you. In their flesh, they said, I reject you. All men and women by nature. Once they hear of the true and living God, and I'm not talking about the little g God that men and women have made up in their mind who does what they want them to do. And I'm talking about the God who is God, the God who kills, makes alive, wounds, heals, chooses one, not another. The God who raises up if he wants to abase. No, my God. Man by nature says, I don't want that God. No, that's not my God. I reject that God. I reject you. Man by nature, the flesh, says, I despise you. How hard is that? How? I don't even like telling you this. But we know it's so. We know it's so. I condemn myself. Isaiah 53 says, he was despised and rejected of me and you. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. The flesh says, I'm at enmity with you. I'm an enemy of you. I choose darkness over you. That's what the flesh says. Men love darkness rather than light. Light came into the world. What did men want? I'll take darkness. I'll literally choose damnation over you. I choose torment and absolute destruction over you. And I'm talking about God's children. All men, all flesh is grass. Man in his sinful flesh cried to him, leave me alone. Leave me alone. But God, who is so rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, in spite of our feelings toward him, even when we were dead in that sin, this is what he cried, I'm not going to do it. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I reject you. I don't want anything to do with you. Leave me alone. He cried, I'm not going to do it. This is not your will be done. It's my will be done. That's what he cried. It's not thy will be done. It's my will be done. And this is my will. All right? This is my will. I will receive you to myself. I will be near to you. I will love you and I'll be your friend. I will shine the glorious countenance of my face on you. I'll bring the light of truth to you. I'll put a love in your heart for it. I'll save you from all of your damnation and all of your destruction. I'll deliver you from all of your torment and all of your wrath. To every single one of God's people, this is what he cries to them. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I just cannot imagine a more comforting thing to hear than that. That is a child of God's greatest desire, to be with Christ. That's his, after he's conquered, after, like that Gadarean man, after God sits us down, clothes us in his righteousness, and puts us in our right mind, that Gadarean said, please let me get in the ship with you. Our greatest desire, after he does that for us, after we hear him say, I'm with you always, our greatest desire is to say, amen, I want to be with you. I just want to be with you. Isn't that it? If we get to the heart of this, Isn't that it? We just want to be with you. That's an amazing work. That's an amazing change. When the Father draws a sinner to Christ, nobody can come to Jesus Christ unless the Father draws that sinner to Christ. And when the Father draws that sinner to Christ, He causes that sinner to fall in love with Him. That's the draw. That literally is the draw. God's people fall in love with a person. They don't just come to a knowledge of election. They do have that knowledge. But that's not the draw. I know a lot of people who believe in election and have missed Christ. When the Father draws a sinner to Christ, that sinner falls so in love with Him. Do you know or remember what it felt like, what it feels like to fall in love? I fell in love with somebody right here in this town, right here in this building, on that pew. You remember what it feels like to fall? We're still in love, but I remember what it felt like to fall in love. You can't stop thinking about the person. You just can't, you can't focus on what you need to focus on because you can't stop thinking. And you don't know at first if they feel exactly the same way you do. So you can't eat. Your stomach hurts. Your heart hurts. Isn't that right? And then you find out that person does feel the same way that you do. And then you can't do anything because you're tired all the time. You're staying up too late. You can't go home. You just want one more kiss. I used to think, man, they're going to get so mad at me. I need to go home. But the thing is, I just wanted to be with her. That's the draw. When the Father draws a sinner to Christ, that's what happens. She says to Him, this is the bride's union with the heavenly husband. She says to Him, "You have ravished my heart." And He says to her, "All that I am and have, I give to you." He says, "I'll love you forever. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Now, if we are sinners saved by the free gift of God with no hope in ourselves and all of our hope in the blood of the One who loved us and gave Himself to redeem us, then I want us to read a few scriptures together. We're going to go through a few verses, and I want us to find some comfort in seeing and knowing that He is with us always. He's with us always. He always has been. He always will be. He is right now. He is right now, even unto the end of the world. Turn with me first to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Doesn't that bring comfort to your heart? Don't you want a shepherd to pen you in, just keep a watchful eye over you, feed you, protect you? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Verse 2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." The green pastures, the still waters of His Word. Verse 3 says, "He restoreth my soul in Him. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's His righteousness for His name's sake. Now David said in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And this is the reason why. It's because you're with me. He said, "I'm with you. Thou art with me." He said, "Even though death is all around me, and even though I have to walk through that dark valley myself," He said, "I'll fear no evil. I won't fear any evil, for Thou art with me." He said, "That's my comfort in that. You're with me." For true believers on Christ, who have been called to sincerely cast their all on Him, as we watch our dear loved ones, our dear brethren, go through the valley of death, and as we go through it ourselves, we can take comfort in knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us in that moment. He said, "I'll come get you and receive you to myself." We passed through spiritual death with Him on the cross of Calvary. We passed through the valley of death. Spiritual death with the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And when it's our turn to go through this physical, whatever it is, He'll be with us. He'll be with us. Isaiah 43:2, the Lord said, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you." Doesn't it bring so much comfort to you to know when that moment comes, the Lord's going to be with us. As long as He's there, there's going to be nothing to fear. There's going to be no sting. There's no pain. No sorrow. That moment is joy, peace, comfort, happiness. He's with us in death. All right, turn with me over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 13. It says, "For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." All right, now look at verse 17. "How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand." You think about His thoughts toward His people. You have somebody you love. How often do you think about that person? We have a beach that we like to go to very much in North Carolina. And we were there in July. And I was sitting on the beach thinking about this verse of Scripture. And I reached down and I grabbed some sand. And I didn't get a big handful. I just, got a palm full. And I got a broken shell. It had a sharp point on it. And I had it in my mind I was going to count the sand in my hand. I immediately realized this is not going to happen. Sand is much smaller than you think it is. So I got a little pinch, like a pinch of salt. And just put a little pinch right there. And I stopped counting at 1,000. And then I dumped all that sand back out and I looked at all that sand. David said, "If I could count your thoughts toward me, it's more in number than the sand." And then he said in verse 18, the end of it, he said, when I awake, I'm still with thee. I'm still with you. There's a good illustration right there. Cry out to the Lord. He'll come. He's with you. I need you to be with me. Please come down here and be with me. It's true. Cry out to Him. And don't stop crying. Every morning when we wake up, He's still with us. We wake up thinking, I ruined yesterday. Guess what? I'm going to ruin today too. Still with me. He's still with me. Great is His faithfulness. So pitiful is mine. Great is His faithfulness. Go with me over to Lamentations 3. I don't hear any crying anymore. Only peace and happiness and joy. Lamentations 3, verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every single morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Our Lord is with us, not only in death, but He's with us in life. Every morning, every day that we're living on this earth. Go over to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. When can we cling to that promise? Right now. Fear not. I'm with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. He said, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That's Jesus Christ. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Verse 13 says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I will help thee. There's so much compassion in that. So much tenderness. Verse 14, he said, fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, your God and your Savior, the Holy One of Israel. The Lord is with us in all of our affliction. All of our affliction. We're going to have to endure affliction in this life. But he said, while you do, I will sit right beside you and I will hold your hand. And I will whisper into your ear, fear not, I'm with you. I'm doing this. He said, the whole time you're going through it, I'll sit right there and I'll say to your soul, this is me. It is I. Be not afraid. this is for your good. This is for the furtherance of my gospel. This is for the purpose of calling out my sheep. I'll never leave. I promise you'll be happy. Fear not. In every affliction, in every trial that we go through, He is with us. He is with us. Even in those moments that we don't know He's there, even when we think He is so far away from us, at all times, in all moments, He's with us. He said, I am with you always. Always. And He says, if you want to know that that is so, you can hear my voice in my word. If you want to hear His voice, open His word. Just open His word. To every sinner in need of his or her Savior, Christ says, because you're mine, I'm with you always. Now, look with me at Luke 23. Verse 33 says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss, without any cause of his own. Only because of his love and his grace and his heart of mercy that he had for us, he made himself to be with us on the cross of Calvary. He united himself with us in the feeling of all of our infirmities, all of our griefs, all of our sorrow, all of our sin before God. He was with us in bearing all of our judgment. Just like, don't you love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I just love that story so much. Nebuchadnezzar thought, I'm going to have my will and my way. That's what I'm about to do. But the king's heart was in the hand of the Lord. And the Lord told that man, bind my beloved. Heat the furnace 7 times hotter. Slay your own soldiers in the process. Throw them in there. And don't you know, when Nebuchadnezzar looked in, he said, Didn't we throw 3 men in here? I see 4. Don't you know the Lord was telling those 3 men the whole time, it's okay. I'm here. And Nebuchadnezzar said, they're walking around. And he said, the 4th one looks just like Jesus Christ. How did he know what Jesus Christ looked like? The Son of God, he said. The Lord revealed himself to Nebuchadnezzar. And he said, their God is God. Pull them out. He was with them in the bearing of that judgment, in the fiery furnace. God was with his people as they endured the fire of the judgment of God. And because he was, they have no hurt. No hurt. Their garments are spotless. They don't even have the smell of that judgment. All they have is that sweet-smelling savor of Christ. That's all they have. Our Lord Jesus Christ is with his people in death. He's with them in life. He's with them in affliction and trial, and he's with his people in judgment. And therefore, this thief on the cross right here in Luke 23, he said in verse 42, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He said, because I was with you in all of that. He said, I'll be with you. And because of that, you're going to be with me. In John 17, he said, Father, I was with them. That's in his prayer. He said, I was with them. And he said, because of that, my desire is that they might be with me where I am. I was with them where they are. So I want them to be with me where I am. I cannot think of a greater comfort for any child of God to hear than our Lord is with us always, even unto the end of the world. And when the end of this world comes, and it's coming, when the end of this world comes, it's only the beginning of our being with him. He's going to be with us until the end of the world comes. And at that moment, that's going to be the beginning of our being with him. You say, it sounds like the same thing. It is. It is. But he said, I'm going to be with you all the way till your end, and then you're going to be with me till my end, and there's not one. All eternity. I pray that the Lord would make us to be believers, really, on who this God is, how much we desperately need him, and the only salvation he provided. And I pray then he'll comfort our hearts by causing us to trust he's with me. He's with me to the end of the world. Amen.